Ramble.
I am a god. Welcome to Guilty Pleasures, the show that loves what it loves. Each week, we talk about one of our favorite Guilty Pleasure movies. Movies that maybe the world wasn't ready for. Maybe it's time to talk about them. This week, we're talking about the Megan Fox overlooked classic Jennifer's Body. And joining us today on the podcast, we have podcast host, funny person, writer, Twitterer, Miss Dana Schwartz. Hello, Dana.
Thank you so much for having me. This is a delight.
Dana, already.
I realize I also, when I was telling you how I follow you on Twitter, I unfollowed you and refollowed you so that you would get my notification.
Oh, well, this is great, because then if I don't follow you, I can click it right
then.
Yeah,
and I
thought
it would be so embarrassing if, like, you didn't know.
Or you were doing that fake Hollywood thing where you're right. Like, oh, I follow you on Twitter. You. Click.
My God, do people do that?
Yeah.
Probably.
I feel like that's happened to me before.
That's a very elaborate lie. To go through on a podcast.
And also, why lie about that?
Yeah.
Are you like meeting new people?
Yeah, Kelsey, why lie about it?
Oh, am I lying?
Yeah, you're lying. I'm
kidding. I've noticed, so I have very different thresholds for who I follow on what. We'll talk about the movie in a second.
Yeah, okay.
I'm very picky about who I follow on Instagram. Yeah. And only recently I'm like, what's my problem?
Because what matters?
You want a ratio? Are you trying to preserve a ratio?
You know, I think I used to have a ratio thing, but I just, there were some people where I'm like, I love you. You are a friend of mine. I don't want to see you.
Oh, every friend of mine is muted on Instagram.
So maybe that's what I need to do.
I think that's what you need to do.
I'm not mute. Muted.
No.
Okay, because you haven't been liking or commenting.
You've been in town recently.
Lie number two.
Jennifer's Body. Okay, we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about the plot and all that. But Dana, take it away. You loved this movie when it came out. What is your personal connection?
I mean, yeah, I feel like you came to me and was like, you talk publicly about Jennifer's Body a lot.
Yeah, I have some friends who aren't friends. Not to say that we're not friends, but we're not. We know each other very loosely.
Okay.
But it
made it sound mean, but
we've never met before.
It was mean.
Really?
This is the first time we met.
How did you know about her?
We're Twitter friends.
Oh. Well, now we will be in a moment, right?
Yeah.
So Dana and I are Twitter friends. We've never met. But I kind of keep tabs on people out in the world. And when I see them publicly standing a movie, I file save in the back of my mind. And I knew this show was going to, you know, I've been working on this podcast for a couple years now. I've been waiting in the wait. So when it came time to Jennifer's Body, I knew you were the person that could come to champion it, to herald it.
I was thrilled. Yeah, I've been a Jennifer's Body, I'll say Stan, since it came out. It was like, I remember when it came out and all my friends were like not quite into it. And I was excited to see it. And I saw it and I loved it from the moment that came out. I like kept watching it. I like have been championing it since it came out. Yeah. I think like last year, a few years ago back. But how long has it been since the pandemic? No,
it's been 8 years.
5 years ago. I saw it at the New Beverly in a double feature with Kathryn Bigelow's Near Dark. That was like Near Dark, the Kathryn Bigelow vampire movie.
Never heard of her.
Kathryn Bigelow? The first woman?
Of course I know who that is. It's a fucking... what you said the movie was.
Near Dark?
Yeah.
Oh, it's fun. I mean, see, it's no Jennifer's Body, but it's fun. And it's been very heartening to see Jennifer's Body sort of go through this like cult classic renaissance. Even though for me, I'm like, I've been here the
you
whole
were there,
time.
I was an original.
We'll talk about kind of what was going on behind the scenes, but definitely when it came out, it was critically panned. It was commercially panned.
It didn't do well.
It did not do well. People dunked on it. I mean, critics and just normies alike. And it definitely has had this growing swell over the last decade where every year I see articles coming out of like why we were wrong about Jennifer's Body. Mm-hmm. It's time we owe Megan Fox an apology.
Oh, yeah. No, we definitely do.
Yeah.
So, you know who really owes Megan Fox an apology? I'll say the people who marketed this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Because the posters for this movie were awful. They made it look like a softcore porn. Like it's called Jennifer's Body. But no, they made it look very male-gazy.
Like, wasn't it?
No.
I don't think so.
I don't think so at all.
I mean, we'll get...
I'll say my opinions.
Yeah.
The poster of it is like her in a schoolgirl outfit, like in a tiny chair, like looking sexy. And they made it look very male-gazy when it's a female writer, female director doing a very, I think, and I'll argue, I mean, we'll discuss, I think a very smart, funny, subversive thing. And it seemed like the marketing only took it on the surface level.
Yeah, so you've been here since day one. This was actually my first time seeing it.
Wow.
Yeah. What about you?
First time as well.
Okay.
I watched it when it came out. Remember loving it when it came out. Watched it again today. And I hate to say. Oh. And I don't usually come in ever as like a negative Nance. But listen, I have more cons than pros somehow.
I love the discussion.
Okay. I do too. But I like you. Like, you're very cool. I like your voice. Like, I'm looking forward to my mind being changed back to the 19-year-old girl that I was when I first saw this.
Okay. I also think good move, like the best movies are ones that people can disagree on and be like, I see what's good, I see what's bad, and if it works for you, that's great. If it doesn't, that's great.
I can't wait for you to get on Twitter after this episode comes out.
So if you've not seen Jennifer's Body, I'm going to attempt a quick synopsis.
You didn't ask Rick what his personal connection was.
Oh, I have zero and absolutely not.
Is this the first time you watched it?
No, this is my first time I watched
it. Holy
shit. What did you think?
I thought it was cool. I thought it was a really good allegory for toxic friendships.
That's right to the chase, you writer, you.
Yeah, but I also think that they should remake it. Diablo Cody with her Oscar should
rewrite it. She just won a Tony the other night also.
And a Tony. Oh my God, congratulations.
Wow, good for her.
Yeah. Way to go, Diablo.
I like Diablo Cody.
Yeah,
I
also great. Think she's a phenomenal writer.
This
yeah.
one hasn't been critically maligned, but I also think Young Adult is her best movie. It's like an amazing movie.
So I'm going to attempt a quick synopsis here. If you have not seen it, don't worry, we got you covered. Spoilers ahead, but don't worry about it. You'll listen to the show and then you'll go watch the movie later. It's all good. Megan Fox and Amanda Seyfried star as Jennifer and Anita, two that's childhood best friends. Did you say Amanda's that's who it is?
I said that's how you say her name.
Anita.
No.
Seyfried.
I was saying Seyfried this whole
Is this a Chrissy Teigen situation?
Maybe.
Is
it
Teigen?
It's Teigen.
No. But she's like, it's actually Teigen.
No,
but everyone
shit.
Has said Teigen so much that I just say Teigen.
Oh, really?
Like, but the authentic Thai pronunciation is Teigen.
Well, I didn't know that.
It's okay. She's still canceled. You're canceled. So you don't have to worry about
She's in timeout for another 3 years.
Yeah. Anyway. They're childhood best friends, they're childhood best friends, but no one really understands why, because Anita is frumpy and she wears glasses and Jennifer's the hot one at school. They go to see a band whose lead singer is played by Adam Brody. Shout out to the OC. Yeah. And he takes Jennifer to put a spell on her.
It's more of a demon sacrifice, I'd say.
Yeah. They take Jennifer to do a demon sacrifice, thinking she's a virgin, but she ain't. She gets a demon inside of her, and she starts sucking the souls of boys in school, ripping their bodies limb from limb. Anita decides she has to stop her. This is Jennifer's Body.
Wow, that was good.
Yeah.
That was good.
Right?
For
fantastic.
Yeah, a couple stumbles, but otherwise we nailed it.
Yeah. First things first. The whole thing about it being male gazy, not at all. She's killing men the entire movie.
sure. And that's like the initial thought. It's like, yes, it's a flip. It's like she's actually eating the souls of men. Like, this movie walked so that like promising young woman couldn't run. But it's like
also walk. But whatever.
Sure, also walk. But the way in which they sexualize the friendship.
Fair.
I do think part of it is really smart in that it takes the things that culturally people, men traditionally have valued about women, that they're young, that they're virginal, that they're like the sexy cheerleader trope, mm-hmm. and then it flips it on its head.
Yes.
So it's like taking that thing that's like the commodification of young women and then gives her, you know, she's the agency in these situations where she's using her sexuality to seduce these young dweeby boys.
Then why get there and then completely flip it again by making them like sort of lesbian?
I think that's doing like the tongue-in-cheek thing again, of the same way that she's a cheerleader. It's like, we want to see two pretty girls. Like, we culturally as the viewer want to see two pretty girls make out, because it's like, ooh, sexy. She as the succubus, when she's been consumed by the succubus, when she is...
Wow, these words are...
Well, like, it's like in the movie. When she's been like consumed by that demon, like succubus, she is sort of the embodiment of like the teenage man-eater. And so I think that when that POV is the sort of engaging in this like titillating, like, tee-hee-hee, we're lesbians, pillow fight. It's like commenting on then that in a meta way.
And it's also fun because during those moments, they're also trying to kill each other.
Right. And like, I guess I would have liked to see a little bit of Anita / Amanda Seyfried's storyline played. Yeah, wait a minute. played out a little bit more, because I did wonder, they did play it up that like Amanda was always looking at her like out of the side of her eye with this kind of like desire, and she was creeping in her window at night, and not in like the killer way in the beginning, but like that she did have this strange, did so she want to be her, see, be with her?
I don't crush.
Is that me as a bisexual noticing that?
I don't think it's queer. I think the first one is she wants to be that symbol, that teen dream.
So she wants
girl.
To be her, not fuck her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. That's what I was saying.
She's
That's
very
what I was
straight.
Thinking. It's just like she just wants to be this person and all that stuff. So like she's.
I did see a little bit of the queer subtext, and I actually wish that there was more of it.
Yeah, I was like, she's was bi like, here.
Yeah, she seems. But I did read a little bit about it. And Diablo Cody, I mean, look, her name's Anita, Amanda Seyfried's character, yeah, and her needy. Nickname is literally needy. Needy. So she wanted to show, Diablo wanted to show how, what she said is how much Amanda was, her character was obsessed with
yeah.
Jennifer.
I guess I see obsessive and needy differently.
Yeah.
I thought that that's like a really accurate comment on a lot of like teen girls' friendships that I don't see in media a lot, when there's like, there is one who's sort of this like powerhouse and furnace. Mm-hmm. And then there's the one who's sort of like following along in her wake.
Yeah,
it's so, sort of like a mean girl situation.
Right. So like watching it and not being a part of those female friendships, obviously I'm not a woman, but whatever.
What?
Oh God. I watching it, I was just like, I bet this is really important for teenage girls to see and like how to actually break out of these friendships. No, don't go out and kill them. Right. But if you exaggerate those friendships to like, the most that they could be, it would be this person is trying to literally eat your boyfriend and eat all the people that you're interested in. And you have to, at the end of the day, turn into a demon yourself and
but
kill
not before
him.
Making out with her.
Not before making out with her. Because women experiment or whatever.
We do. Blah, 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 sleepovers. Blah. That's what they were made for.
That's the smartest thing, though, I think about the friendship is that Jennifer only kills boys, especially after Needy shows some interest in them.
Yeah.
Because like, oh, those friendships.
Right. They did the same shit in White Lotus and everybody applauded it. But it was just like, yo, Jennifer's body. So Jennifer's body walks so that White Lotus can run.
Jennifer's body walked so that Swiss Army Man and Warm Bodies could run, because this was also the first, like, at least for me, this was the first like zombie / demon / unalived person where she's half being able to be a human under the guise of like she's actually still possessed, and I liked that.
So like that's the only like main issue I had, because I feel like we've gotten to the point in media where we want to see villains fleshed out a ton or a ton more. Like everybody's like applauding Thanos right now, or like, oh, blah, blah, blah. He's actually right, or whatever.
Thanos.
Okay. Whatever the fuck. Thanos.
You know
Thanos.
Face
boss, yeah, they
face
say
boss,
it a million
Seyfried,
times.
Seyfried, I'm so sorry. Thanos. But everybody's applauding him and all of and the writing for that character and how he's fleshed out throughout the series. And then here we just have, oh, she's a demon. She wants to eat your friends, all of this stuff. And it's just like, well, if she was like actually struggling with something, I thought that would have been
made it deeper.
Really dope.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What are some of the things you love about this movie?
I think fundamentally it's very funny in a way that's ahead of its time. Mm. I mean, like the fact that they go to this bar and there's like a 9/11 memorial shot.
Yeah. That like, made me laugh so fucking hard.
I had to look. I was like, wait, is this when before was this made? Or after 9/11?
I know.
You thought it was before 9/11?
Like genuinely for a second, the and then I was like, no, God, no.
She comes in with two red, white, and blue shot tall shot glasses, and she goes, oh, one of the towers is shorter than the other. And it's just so, it's such an innocent little moment.
It's such like a joke that I feel like in 2003 or whenever this came out, it was like too soon, but now people get that it's funny.
2009, I think it came out.
2009.
Yeah. Which still, you'd be like, too soon. It hasn't even been 10 years. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I think that sort of joke about, it's a joke about the weird commodification of 9/11, like, is very funny.
Yeah.
I love Adam Brody's character.
Oh, well, same.
And also, so good.
Sorry, on the 9/11 stuff.
Yeah.
Wow.
But like,
wow.
Yeah, Diablo Cody. Oh my God.
Yeah, keep going.
Diablo Cody is so good at little details that flesh out the world. So, like, that is, in any other movie, a throwaway joke. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they have this red, white, and blue shot glass tells me so much about this town and the world and the people in it. And it's just one little moment in the first act of the movie, but I'm like, oh, cool, I know where I am. This is people who have, like, made some Freedom Fry type bullshit where they're, like, memorializing. Yeah.
Moving back, the fact that they got into the bar in the first place
tells you where
I am. Tells me where I am. I was like, oh, this is actually a smaller town.
It's something you don't notice, but I had to rewind a couple times because I like looked away and started doing something on my phone. But I had to rewind the spoiler alert part where the bar burns down in the beginning.
Which is crazy. Wow,
that was fucking insane.
There's a neon flashing sign that says no IDs necessary or like no IDs that's allowed.
So they get an X on the back of their hand, which is one of those tiny details. Right.
That's a small very town cool. bar. Like that looked like the bar I grew up sneaking into and definitely
it's because
underage.
I mean, I also love that this movie doesn't over explain. It's because the Adam Brody character like already has a little demonic something. Yes. Like he's singing
eyeliner.
The bar lights on fire. He sort of like gets Jennifer under his spell when she like follows him to the van. Like they don't over explain it, but like something's happening there.
Do they explain the reason for the fire?
No, they don't.
Yeah, it was, I mean, they don't, but like it's because he's this bee demon playing.
So do we think that he rocked so hard that he burned the place down?
But there's also, see, this is another part where I was like, is it this like queer thing? Because the moment that the fire actually catches is directly after a shot where Amanda and Megan are holding hands and then Megan lets go. And Amanda shoots her this look like, why are you looking at him and not at me? And I read it as gay. I did not read it as like, I want to be you. I'm so obsessed with you. And then the fire starts. And I thought Amanda started the fire with her thoughts.
That could be because the movie does suggest that Amanda.
No.
You don't
You're
think
so? Wildly wrong on this.
There's so many conspiracy theories.
I'm so sorry, but like we had to get the details
okay,
right.
Okay, get laid
Amanda,
down.
Amanda Seyfried's character gets the powers after Jennifer bites her.
Right. Yes. But
no. Well, what I was gonna say, she has powers at the beginning of the movie.
It's
she,
a flash forward.
She always knows when she has like some sort of
when Jennifer's
connection with Jennifer.
So, another thing, I was like, is it gay or is it like their period syncing?
Well, because look, this is a movie where it uses metaphors to depict the wild, turbulent hormones of being a young girl.
Yeah,
we all agree, right?
Yes.
So I think through that reading, there could be some like, oh, the rage of her hormones caused the fire. Could be.
My reading of it is that this boy who's like kind of a minor, you know, has made several deals with the devil.
Yeah.
And he's sort of this fire, as we discuss, I mean, as they say in the movie later, they're like, oh, we only know their names because, you know, that big fire in town, like they used that tragedy to like become famous. So like the devil that they made a deal with started that fire to help make them famous.
If I didn't make it clear enough in my synopsis. So Adam Brody plays a young indie musician who sacrifices what he thinks is a virgin, played by Megan Fox, to the devil so that he can become rich and famous. Mm-hmm. And the line that made me laugh so fucking hard is he just goes so earnestly, do you have any idea how hard it is to be an indie musician these days? As like the whole motivation for summoning the devil is so good.
And it was something you brought up that we didn't point out, which I thought was a good device. I looked to the writer to be like, we're all writers. I just look at you because you're employed right now and being paid salary.
We're all writers. They just get paid to do
it. Yeah, there you go. Where we start with a flash forward and it opens up it with Amanda Seyfried's character in a mental institution, lockdown prison type
where
situation.
Where she kicks the shit out of a black
kicks
woman.
Kicks
yeah.
the shit.
Like, Jesus Christ.
Literally,
kicks
the shit out of her. And it got to the point where I didn't even notice the casting of the nurse until she like flew back and I was like, that's,
yeah.
Oh God.
Like,
oh no.
No, it was just a black woman. Okay. We were like,
to where I was like, not Auntie Glinda, like that.
She was nice. That's the thing. She didn't deserve it.
Yeah, no, she doesn't deserve it. She, I mean, Needy at this point has been bitten by a succubus devil. Right.
Yeah. I'm going to give one quick slap on the wrist to this movie. From my memory, there is one black woman. She gets kicked.
Yeah, she's yeeted across the table.
She got yeeted.
Yeah,
spits out a bloody tooth, and then there's one Indian exchange student who has no line. Yep. Mm-hmm. Gets first, we think, crushed by a beam. Mm-hmm. We later find out, oh no, he survived. Then he gets fucking eaten by a demon.
Yeah.
Why was he there? Why did we?
Because Jennifer wanted to taste uncircumcised penis.
Sausage.
Yeah. There are plenty of uncircumcised white people.
The other like
in
little
that small
like
town?
The other like little I had with the opening is that it starts with her saying that she's in this institution, she's crazy, but she didn't always used to be this way, and it like pulls out and you start to realize there's all this contraband in her room. She's like
all these fan letters.
I have fan letters being sent to me every week, and you're like, oh, what are the fan letters about? I'm sorry, but what mental institution is allowing that kind of item into a crazy killer?
Pretty privilege. Young, white, pretty girls get whatever they want.
And then they don't really answer the question of why does she have fans?
Yeah, why do people like her?
I think because she's a pretty white killer.
But had she killed spoiler alert, band at this point?
No, she had just, quote unquote, killed Jennifer.
Yeah, she killed Jennifer.
So why were people sending her fan mail?
I mean, just like because people are crazy. She's like a hot killer.
Do you think that is also because people slightly suspected that Jennifer was going around eating people?
No, I think it's just because of the same thing that like the movie is making fun of is like the way like young women's bodies are commodified and sexualized. Like, I think it just became like probably a sexy story the same way. You know, that like van life murder get more attention because it's sort of like you can sort of put a finger on it. It's like, ooh, sexy girls murdered, lesbian affair, like whatever it was. Like, I think that's why it got attention.
This movie had so many ideas.
Which is a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot. And it doesn't over explain things, which I like, but also I totally see why some people might think it left some balls in the air.
Can we briefly, before we go anywhere else, just give a moment to Megan Fox as Jennifer.
Oh, yeah. I'm so glad she's coming back. She's getting the fucking rehype that she deserves.
She fucking rules in this movie.
She's
a great actress.
I remember when this movie came out and the reason why people were like, don't go see it. They're like, Megan Fox is terrible.
Yeah,
and
but
I was like,
they don't realize it's...
No, she's perfect.
It's doing what it was supposed to be doing. It's making fun of these fucking movies.
You understood the assignment, Doug. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
I will say before I came here, I did Google where I could get a cropped juicy heart hoodie.
Oh, Forever 21 is doing a full-on collection with them right now. I walked into Forever 21, not on purpose. I didn't want to. I was stuck in Vegas and I didn't have pants. That sounded way worse than it actually was.
Who
was with my father. Oh God, that's
way worse.
Anyway, Forever 21 is doing.
Remember how I said she would get more Florida as the podcast went on?
With your dad, you say?
Megan Fox. I need you to know, if you have not seen this movie, seeing Megan Fox crouched in heels in a kitchen, covered in blood, shriek and roar as she demolishes a rotisserie chicken.
From Boston Market.
Yeah.
What a fucking treat.
Yes. Yeah.
Ugh, she's perfect.
And I think people hated this in the beginning. It's ironic now, but people hated it because it was like, she's being the hot girl. And I'm like, she is destroying the idea of what a hot girl's supposed to look like in a scary movie. Mm-hmm. She's got her tits out, but she's also got fucking fangs and blood and rotisserie chicken. And she's like gnawing and scratching.
And she's vomiting. Disgusting.
She's
like,
disgusting.
And it's sick.
It's so funny.
It vomits out the Venom symbiote.
Yeah.
She does.
Yeah.
She vomits out the Venom. This is really in the Venom universe.
Yeah.
Venom prequel.
Yeah. But she, and now the fact that she's with Machine Gun Kelly, she's best friends with Travis Barker and Kourtney Kardashian, and she's back on my feed and mainstream. I'm just I feel like we're having another benefit.
Yeah. So we were talking, everybody on the internet was talking about cultural resets. Mm. Her and Transformers leaned over the car.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like was the most obvious cultural reset of all time.
Oh.
Because it's just like, oh, I don't know who this person is. This is a new person.
Derek likes cars a lot.
I like cars a ton. But I mean,
in like a
that's besides the point, because I was not looking at the fucking car.
Surprising.
I'm sorry. This is the one shot that distracted me from a Camaro. Anyway, but I feel like that was the only thing anybody talked about for year.
And she looked like she had fillers before fillers were fillers. And so I think people were just mad because she was hot as fuck.
She's so hot.
She's so naturally fucking hot.
I know. It's infuriating.
She's got tattoos and she's fucking rocking them. Thrilled for her. But you know what? Yeah. This movie is guilt. I know. We all had to take like a...
Second
we all just thought about Jennifer. Anyway, right.
Seats
wet.
She popped
this
up
velvet.
A new girl and you forgot how attractive she
was. Oh my God. Yeah.
She's like, the
hottest
but
person.
But also, she's funny.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's a thing that I think we all miss.
Like, right. Like, oh, in Transformers, she's just like the new hot person, but she's not actually talented. No.
No, she's a
very talented comedic actress.
She has,
you talk about new girl. She's incredible
funny
on that.
She has good lines in this. She's like, ooh, nice comeback, Hannah Montana. Yeah. You're like, that's funny. She's good.
I wrote down some lines of when she says, you're a player hater, or you're just jello, to say you're just jealous. And I think we need to bring that back.
Those are the Diablo Cody-isms.
Okay.
Some of which work for me. Some of which
I love also so racist and homophobic and ableist. But other than that, the
writing's
great.
And actually it was, you're lime green jello and you can't even admit it to yourself.
That's fun.
I think part of the backlash to this movie was it came after Juno was such a hit. And then the backlash to Juno was like, oh, the stylized language is annoying.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then it was imitated with less well, which then was even more annoying.
Yeah.
And so I think people were already primed to be annoyed at Diablo Cody dialogue, which I totally admit sometimes goes too far, but sometimes you're like,
no, I'm
it's
like,
fun.
I talk like that
I'm
with my friend.
Also, stylized dialogue in a movie, like
and
movies have dialogue.
Right. And then it's also, if it's in a small town, I'm just gonna be okay with whatever the fuck they're
saying. Yeah, they say
weird shit. It's a small town. You can get into a bar under 21. Mm. Who gives a fuck?
Teenagers say weird things all the time.
Yeah.
And to your point, Dana, it was the Diablo Cody backlash and the Megan Fox
backlash. Oh, yeah.
It was just this kind of perfect storm.
Yeah.
Did you burp?
A sinusoidal wave.
My God. I could smell what you had for lunch.
No. I had a lot of Thai food.
Jesus Christ.
Does it smell good or bad?
Smells like Thai food in here. Were you guys just fucking?
That's a line in the movie.
Love it.
But it's, I mean, it was this perfect storm of misogyny and internalized misogyny and all this stuff where like we build up women and we just love breaking them down.
Oh, we do.
Yeah. And it also like you also know that Megan Fox was like blacklisted or whatever because everybody else in the cast is fucking fine.
Yeah.
What's my boy's name?
Let's talk about
Adam Brody.
Adam Brody.
Chris kills
Pratt
it.
Is in
Chris Pratt makes an amazing
Simmons
cameo.
Is in it.
J.K. Simmons with a curly wig and a hook hand.
Yeah.
Just delightfully campy. You got fucking, what's his name? Young Neil from Scott Pilgrim vs. the World.
Yeah.
He's such an adorable
dork.
He looks
a little too young.
I think he's so cute.
He's adorable.
It felt uncomfortable.
Yeah, I mean, he does look like a baby, but he looks like a high schooler.
Yeah, he does look like a high schooler, which I appreciate about this movie because every high school had one Megan Fox in it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was my fucking sister. My sister was like short skirt, pink tank top, tan as shit. She was exactly like slow motion, like guys parted the sea when she would walk down.
You were
it.
Amanda Seyfried.
I was whatever was on Amanda Seyfried's shoe. Like I was not even close. Like I have fucking full braces. Yeah. But this movie is one guilty of, and I don't know if it works. Maybe Megan Hot is so Megan Hot. Jesus.
I mean we might as well.
Maybe
it kind of just slipped out of the tongue because it belonged there.
Maybe Megan Fox is so hot that she does make Amanda Seyfried look goofy looking, but they are guilty of that one fucking thing where they try to make a super hot girl look ugly by putting glasses
Although I
on
will
her.
Also say sometimes when there's like a friend group with a very like dependent relationship, one will like, even if she secretly is hotter, she will be like, oh, you're the hot one.
Yeah.
So I won't do it. When it's like, oh, Amanda Seyfried, you're beautiful. Like, you could be
Karen from Mean Girls.
Karen from Mean Girls. But like she is putting herself in a subservient position because
she has a big lesbian crush on her.
And then at the end / beginning when she has like the succubus energy, she's like hot Amanda Seyfried.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, she had that in her all along. Like I think it was a conscious casting
She had
choice.
To get her out of the way. She had to get Megan Fox out of the way.
Yeah.
So let's actually talk about that. And we kind of touched on it very briefly before, the toxic friendship at the core of this movie.
I love it.
I'm going to admit something that I misread the metaphor in the beginning as I was watching this movie. And I was like, I like this. I'm having a lot of fun. I feel like it's confusing me because it was like, okay, she's a man eater, but they're not really focusing on that. But no, this is a monster movie about toxic friendship. And it's not really even about the men. It's about these two women and how one makes the other one feel like garbage and feels control. And frankly, I'm talking my out of my ass here. You guys can probably speak to this a lot better. Talk to me about female friendship.
I know you probably can emotionally relate.
Thank you.
I think, I mean, I'm sure you have similar experiences.
Your voice is just...
Dana, who hurt you as a child?
I mean, I've been very lucky in my friendships, but I do totally understand and relate to this dynamic of someone sort of being the star and the alpha and someone who maybe is less socially confident being content to sort of fall into their wake. And I think that's a dynamic a lot of young girls have because being a teenage girl is really hard. And so it's easier to be Jennifer's best friend and be number two, but always be comfortable than to try to go out on your own.
As the movie said, hell is a teenage girl.
Hell is a teenage girl,
Like 94% of the reason why I don't want to have kids is because I'd be a shit mother, but like 6% is because I'm terrified to have a daughter.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Jennifer, needy is the quote unquote needy one because she needs someone like telling her where to go and what to do. But Jennifer... as a symbol.
Needy.
Well, she's like fundamentally insecure, right? She has like
that line in the end where she's like, or are you just so deeply insecure? Like you had to come after my boyfriend.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is she going to say to this? I don't remember. And what does she say? She says like, how could I possibly be insecure? I'm like, God,
some like perfect line. But I mean, it is she wants to like, when she's flirting with the lead singer with Adam Brody, that's so like painfully relatable when you're like, oh, I have to flirt with the lead singer because if I am hot enough to get the lead singer, then I'm worthy. I'm worth something.
And it's the only moment where you really see her being nervous, too. Is she like, as soon as she opens her mouth, her voice is like six fucking octaves and she's like stumbling over words. And you're like, oh, God, that's a lot of work to be the hottest one in the group.
She's so nervous.
Yeah. And Adam Brody plays
another credit
villain
to her performance. Like she plays this role with depth. She's not just anonymous
making
hot
fun of
person. She has real pathos.
You see the moments where you understand why Needy is friends with her.
You brought up Chris Pratt being in this movie. And
Chris Pratt again, also known as Mario, by the way.
What am I missing?
Chris Pratt.
It's me, Chris.
What cultural moment am I missing?
He's been cast as Mario.
What?
Yeah.
It's a him, Mario.
The Italian plumber.
It's a me, a Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt.
Is this a joke?
No.
Are you fucking, when did this happen?
Like 2 days ago.
I was in the woods. I blame that.
And Charlie Day is Luigi. And Anya Taylor Joy?
Well, she does look like Peach.
Yes, she
I
does.
Feel like Luigi.
Jack Black is Bowser.
I think
this
that's
is so
fantastic.
Confusing.
Keegan-Michael Key is Toad.
Wait, how do you know all that?
I memorized
bald. You bring up Chris Pratt, and I wrote down, it's nice to see Chris Pratt being his actual self in this role.
Yeah, like a shit. He's like a shitty small town cop.
Which you fucking know. Chris Pratt's fucking Republican.
Biggest complaint of the film, we didn't get to see Chris Pratt die.
Well, he's throwaway character. He lives and beats the fire, and then does he ever come back again?
But
I think he dies in the fire.
What? No, she says I'm fucking
a cadet.
We don't
see it, though.
That's the quarterback's brother, is it not?
No. That's Craig. Lovely. Craig was the quarterback's best friend who died.
But Chris Pratt is a police officer that she's fucking, and then later, Amanda Seyfried goes, "I'm gonna call the cops," and she's like, "What are you gonna do? I'm fucking a cadet." And I'm like, "But where is he at all?"
You're right. He gets out, and
he's
we never see his
dad. Yeah,
but he was a throwaway. I was like, "Wait, it was just a little bit lost for me."
I'm sorry. I know that we were talking about Chris Pratt,
but there was a really
fun joke in there when Amanda Seyfried and Young Neil are having sex.
This is the greatest moment of the fucking movie.
I thought that was one of the best jokes. Truly top tier, top 10 of the 2000s.
Yes,
where they're sleeping with each other.
She's losing her virginity.
She's having a moment where she's feeling Jennifer eat somebody, and she's screaming or whatever. She sees her in the corner. She's like, "Oh my God!" Blah blah blah. And he's like, Yeah. I'm fucking doing it.
He fucking hears her screaming with horror.
Right.
And he has the nerdiest, most happy little smile on his face.
It was so good.
So, then, so perfect.
I mean, you guys talk about the relatability of this movie. Oof. Me and Garrick, we felt seen in that moment.
Well, you're missing the best line.
Yeah. Am I too big?
Yeah.
It's so good. She's, I was like, that's how you fucking write a joke,
seeing
dog.
Seeing blood dripping on her face. She's seeing dead people in the corner of the room. And he thinks...
It's his little high school penis.
Adorable little dork. Yeah. Oh, I love him so much.
It pisses me off that a movie like this can have moments like that and then also have things like Chris Pratt's character disappears and then there's like...
She's a writer. She writes. She does this. Yeah. You know,
and a Tony Award winning. Yeah. What did she direct or did she write?
Can we also talk about that the song Through the Trees is a perfect mediocre pop punk song.
It's a good song.
And then when they're, the school's doing like a memorial, they have like kids singing like an a cappella version of it.
Yeah.
I was upset that it wasn't more of a bop, but then I... Because it's like,
no, they needed to make a deal with the devil.
Yeah, it's it's very intentionally mediocre, and it's kind of incredible.
And this was the era of Save the Day, Fall Out Boy, Yellow Card. Like my heart was completely believing.
Very hard to be an indie band. Right?
I think I think I read somewhere that they almost wanted to cast Pete Wentz.
They did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that one of your fun facts?
It was.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry to jump on your fun facts.
It's okay.
Oh, I had such a crush. That was also why this movie, I think, worked for me, is I like a guy with eyeliner sacrificing someone to a devil fully worked for me.
And it is a
still
good
does.
It's a good twist, right? Because the movie leads you to believe that Jennifer disappears in the van with the guy, with Adam Brody, leaving him in a Siegfried, which is like a classic girl move in high school. Ugh. You're like, you'll be fine. I'd never leave you at a bar. And then I got to go fuck this hot guy. I'll see you later, back at home. And then takes her away. And we forgot to also mention that there's a giant hole in this town.
Yeah, I was like,
the
what?
Devil's kettle.
Yeah, what was going on
with
that?
Yeah, there's a waterfall that goes into a sinkhole.
It's a portal to hell.
Nothing ever comes out of. And it's a really fascinating, cool little mystery that's dropped in the beginning. But at the end, she finds the bottom of it.
Because there's a knife in a ball that comes.
Because I think once you, I mean, I think the metaphor, right, is it's just like a pit to hell in their town. It's like that thing in Buffy. There's
never saw it.
A hell.
I don't want to talk about it.
I've also never seen it. I just know they're.
Oh, good.
That's why I don't know the
name.
Wait,
I never meet anyone that is of my age and hasn't also seen Buffy. I think I get dragged for that.
At this point, you can't go back, right? Once you miss it.
No,
you
miss it.
It's like trying to rewatch The Wire. I'm just like, ah.
Feels like homework.
Yeah.
I think like the
fuck both of them. The Wire is fantastic.
No, I agree. But like going back and rewatching it.
I'm not
going to
watch Buffy.
Trying to recommend it to
now
somebody
who's
never
seen it. Now that I know who Joss Whedon truly is.
Yeah.
But anyway, there's this portal to, assumedly portal to hell. And I was so like, wow, what a cool mystery. I can't wait to see what happens with it. And it didn't really feel like it got resolved, but it kind of does because she finds the knife that got thrown in it. So how do you read that?
I don't know. Yeah, you're right. I guess I sort of forgot that then she finds the knife and all the balls that the scientist threw.
Yeah.
So I thought that was trying to close the gap that it was this mysterious hellhole. And it was like, no, it was actually just the demon thing.
Okay, so it's like it does. It's just a place. Like it's creepy and symbolic, but it's not necessarily mystical.
Yeah.
I mean, as Garrick said before, there's a lot of ideas.
A lot of ideas. I feel like there was a hell and back type of metaphor going on right there, but I don't know if it like finished. Yeah. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I got the sense that like that scene is just like tonal,
right?
More than
it looked cool as shit.
It did look cool, especially the balls going down the hole.
Yeah. Here's my genuine read on the movie, and like this is as someone who really liked it, and I liked it clearly more than you, because like I'm
talking like I like it though, right?
No, for sure.
Okay, good.
But like to me, it feels like Diablo Cody won an Oscar, and they said, "What's next? What do you have?" And she's like, "Oh, well, I also wrote this script." And then they're like, "Perfect, it's ready." Right. Yeah. I don't know that it was.
It was like, because this is something that I wrote years ago.
Yeah,
before. I actually saw it. She wrote it the same year as Juno.
Oh.
So she wrote them back to back.
Okay.
I think it probably would have benefited from another draft or two.
Yeah.
But I still think it's fucking awesome.
See, and for me, it just like, You know how sometimes movies just work?
Yeah.
It just works for me on levels that I can like logically be like, oh yeah, that doesn't work. That's not tight. Like,
the
whatever.
Things I'm picking apart don't matter.
But yeah, exactly. Like I can totally acknowledge. I'm like, yeah, but it just works for me as a movie. And that's past like logic.
I think it's going to get more popular just as the ages go on. Like
I think
every
they should remake it.
Spooky season. It's just
I think
keep...
it deserves
Who
a
could
remake?
Do it better?
Megan
than
Fox
I mean,
will do it, and Amanda Seyfried should do it.
I think if Diablo Cody rewrote it again, if they gave her the same contract and it was just like, hey, just go for it.
Think
again.
About
with our modern means.
That's what I'm saying.
Stuff.
Like, think about Amanda Seyfried right now. Yeah. Like Oscar winning award
nominee. Was she nominated? And she was in Mank.
Megan Fox nominated for
Mank. Dating Machine Gun Kelly. Like, they're both fucking cool as shit again. Like, throw that bitch back. Have her come back from hell.
Yeah, it
have
doesn't.
Oh, make a sequel. Separate.
Yes, make a sequel.
It doesn't have to be in high school. Like, just
put
them in the
workforce.
No, they should be adults.
Put them in
the
workforce.
Put them in the
workforce. Like, what had Amanda Seyfried like had to go undercover for all these years and move to Yugoslavia?
I mean, a hard remake where it's just like they're adults now and they're doing the same thing over. I'd be down for that.
No, it has to be about high schoolers.
You think
really?
That's the reason they're doing dumb shit.
And it's because it's about hormones and it's about teenage friendship and
it's about shit. Teenage friendship and using boys,
but I also think that that could be placed in the workforce where it's just like I don't like that you're using you know certain means to get to the top or whatever or we're also
I mean the way
this,
that women are end up being
like,
competitive
supposed to
in the
be
workforce
lifting each other up right now
and okay like, I can fuck with that
there's
metaphor.
Like a whole era right now where we're in our 30s and we're lost we're like I don't know what the fuck I am I don't know who
we're
I
changing.
Am I don't know what my friendships are and all that shit and I think that would ring true for a lot of people.
Should we write another movie?
Take the day off, Diablo.
Yeah,
we got it. She's the only one that could write it.
I don't know if I'm alone here, by the way. No matter what Amanda Seyfried does in her career, she'll always be Lily Kane to me.
Oh,
yeah,
absolutely.
Veronica Mars.
Never watched it.
Ugh. Yeah, I didn't watch
another
that
one.
You know, that one you didn't miss. That one's always ready for you.
Yeah.
You can come back and watch Veronica Mars.
Okay.
Really?
So you said that it just works for you.
Yeah.
And I think the reason it does is because there are moments in this movie that are so fucking iconic the second you watch them. Like, I'm watching this movie for the first time. And she is on the phone with her tongue out, lighting the tip of her tongue. And she just looks into camera and goes, I am a god. And I'm like, oh my, yes.
Yeah.
Like,
that's where Kanye got it from.
Tattoo this on my fucking body. Really?
Yeah. I also think it's so, I love the nice punk boy that she killed.
The emo boy. Yeah. Okay, I literally wrote down justice for emo boy because that guy now would be a fucking star on TikTok.
They
were dragging him for being eyelinered and chained up.
I love Kyle Gallner.
Fucking Hot Topic wishes.
Like,
that's the actor.
When I was in high school and I was like a good little AP student, I had like a 2-week relationship with like a punk boy who like gave himself tattoos and like had an eyebrow pierce.
Oh shit.
And all my friends were like, what are you doing?
What were you doing?
Making out with a cute boy.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Living my best goddamn life.
We had nothing to talk about.
Yep.
Literally nothing to talk about. I think we dated for like 3 weeks, and when we hung out, all we did was make out.
How did it end?
I think we broke up over a text because
stopped
we were like,
out.
We have nothing in common.
Yeah, right. No reason to be together.
You have no reason to be together, but I love cute little emo boy.
Yeah.
That famous picture of the two houses on PCH.
Oh, the black and the purple.
The Barbie house.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm jumping because we are almost right now. Let's talk about the ending.
Yeah.
So, Amanda Seyfried warns her boyfriend, don't go to the school dance because it's going to be full of boys and Jennifer's going to go on an eating spree there.
Yeah.
Boyfriend doesn't listen. Goes to the dance without girlfriend. Megan Fox tries to eat him. Amanda Seyfried comes back. Boyfriend dies?
Yeah, dies.
But I mean,
Chip R.I.P.
Chip R.I.P.
After she does the Holy Crucifix and then jumps in the water and beats her ass, which
and
was very funny to me.
He impales Megan Fox with a pool stick. What's that thing called? A pool net?
Yeah.
And when she pulls it out, she asks Amanda Seyfried, my favorite line, do you have a tampon? And she says no. And she goes, you look like you're stopped, or I thought you were stopped up or something. What's the line? It's really funny.
It's a good moment.
It's a good line.
And it's really
moment.
Like, okay, now that all the men are out of the way, these two women can really like fuck up their friendships, duke it out. And it doesn't end there. It continues on. Megan Fox goes home. Amanda Seyfried sneaks through the window, jumps on the bed.
She smashes through the window.
Yeah. After she bit her, she sort of has like
crazy energy.
Crazy
demon power.
Yeah.
Right.
Jumps on top of her bed while Megan Fox is in the bed, slits her throat. Megan Fox's fine ass mom walks in and is like,
no, she stabs her in the heart.
No, she slits her throat.
No, she stabs her in the heart because she says,
so you have to kill
my
her in the
tit.
Throat.
Oh, yeah, my dad. She has your heart.
Yeah.
Then why was her throat slit?
I think it was just bloody.
But okay, before that, I didn't get that line where she's like, what is the knife for? It's for cutting boxes. Was that like a bit? I feel like it was a joke that I missed.
So she had a box cutter. Yeah, she said, what's the knife for cutting boxes? I think it was like a lesbian slur.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, no, I just thought, I misread that.
For cutting boxes, it's like, you're a fucking vagina.
Oh, I just thought it was like, what do you think the knife's for, you idiot?
Oh, maybe I'm
cutting boxes. No, I interpreted it as kind of like, again.
You don't, boxing, it's a sexy movie.
Yeah.
Box means vagina.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I'm learning.
I'm putting my foot down.
So Megan Fox's mom sees Amanda Seyfried with the knife in her daughter's heart.
Yeah.
And then we jump cut to Amanda Seyfried is back in prison. You realize that's why she got put in.
Yeah, she got sent to an asylum because she straddled her friend and stabbed her in the heart.
But that was after being bit.
It's true.
By a demon, but arguably she might have done that anyway because she was driven to be that way.
Also, a comment on our justice system: the fact that a murderer got put in
pretty privileged,
got put into a psych ward and not
instead
prison
of a prison. So quite the commentary still rings true 10 years later.
Yeah.
And then
I mean,
when
that's
you think
a reach.
It's
I'm sorry.
No, it's
no,
not.
I mean, it didn't.
It's the same reason why I was like, why the fuck is she getting all this fan mail? But
right.
We think it's over. Then she bursts out of prison because she gets put in isolation. She bursts out of prison.
She has floaty powers.
She got floaty power because she got
power.
Bit by a demon.
She can just walk through gates.
Then she gets picked up by a hitchhiker.
You're doing a lot.
That
we're
also
really
also
going
keep going.
The point
it's 7:10.
Yeah.
I have couples therapy at 7:30.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hitchhiker
looks like Van Helsing. Is like, where are you going? And she's like, I'm going to see this band that she's been after this whole movie because she fucked up her friend. And then the credits roll, but then
after the credits,
you get this story of like the band arguably did become very famous, and you don't know if it's from and I have a conspiracy theory about this.
Wait, is there a post-credit scene?
Yeah. Did you not watch?
No. It's a mid-credit. It's a very important mid-credit scene.
It says directed written by Diablo Cody. And then
I saw the credits, which I loved, adored, and the credits are her murdering the band.
Oh, yeah. Yes. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
But then I have a theory about this. So the band is huge, right?
Yeah.
Like they have all these fans, they have all these girls chasing after them. Was it because their song became popular through the school tragedy?
Yeah.
Or that fire tragedy?
Yes.
Or was it because Megan Fox really was a virgin and was lying about it because she was the popular hot girl?
No. Megan Fox definitely wasn't a virgin because she became a succubus. That's why she came back.
But what if? Because did you ever have that in high school where girls pretend they're like,
yeah,
they
that's
were fucking
why
people?
Adam Brody thought that she would be a virgin. He's like, I know girls like this.
Right,
and the
right,
joke
right.
is like, no, she actually is.
If she was actually a virgin, she would just be dead and we wouldn't have a movie.
I guess my brain likes to believe that the demon thing maybe happened because it's spell and witchcraft.
I mean, they did spell. So I just think we can figure that like that ritual. She came back, but like it still worked.
But so were they famous? Because technically they shouldn't have been famous because she wasn't a virgin.
Right. They were only famous
because of the fire song.
That gave national attention.
Which I think they still did. I just assume that it was all part of them doing demonic shit to get famous.
Yeah.
They probably did it again.
Yeah, they would keep doing it.
So they probably killed more women.
Yeah. So they deserve to die.
You talked about though, I adore the ending credits of this movie. You get to see in a bunch of still photos and little archival video clips, their fame, and then Amanda Seyfried going to fucking brutally murder all of them.
It's just
such a fun way to end a movie.
That was actually the most unsettling part of the movie for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had
it's
to like
scary.
Skip past it a little bit. I was like, oh God, this is a lot. For something about murder scenes is what really gets me.
Oh, good to know. How are we doing on time?
Good to know.
I would like to see it.
you leave and we'll wrap up.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. We'll cut you in.
We'll
wrap it up in a minute.
See ya.
Just a couple other quick hits from me. Things that I fucking love.
Yeah.
I really think that the movie was beautifully shot.
Oh, yeah.
It is great. There are a lot of fun, really split diopter shots, which is when you have someone in focus in the foreground and the background. I went to film school.
Oh.
I don't know if you remember this one shot on the, like, Zoom's really, like, get me very excited, and active cameras like are like my truest kink.
And that was so triggering. I was like, Zoom rooms? No. Why would Zoom get
not
you
Zoom
excited?
Rooms. Camera Zoom. Like active cameras. And there's this one shot. It must be on like a 13 millimeter lens. It is so wide. and it zooms all the way across the football field into this football player's face. And it is just such a delightful, over-the-top, campy, just fucking going for it shot. And I can't get enough of that shit.
I feel pretty bad that I feel like the backlash to Diablo Cody and Megan Fox in this moment, this like you said, like internalized misogyny and sure. like cultural misogyny and a movie that was like made for women but marketed to men poorly. Like Karen Kusama, I think, is an amazing director. I think her career now is doing well, but like I wish this movie catapulted her to another big project immediately.
So she talked after this movie about the idea of director's jail, which if you don't know out there is this idea that if you have one flop, you get put in director's jail, quote unquote, and like they don't let you make any more movies. And she's like, yeah, that's a real thing, especially for women. And after this movie, she did have a tough time. I want to talk a little bit more about like we talked about this up top, but like the backlash and the miss. Advertising of this movie, because I pulled up some facts from it. This is my unfun facts this week. We don't have fun facts. We have unfun facts.
Yeah.
Do you know any of this?
No, I don't know what you're about to say.
Okay. Yeah. So they were talking to Diablo Cody, and they really felt that they advertised this movie towards men or males age 18 to 24, which is not who they made the movie for.
Oh, not at all. Those are statistically the dumbest people in the world, I think.
As a Rainey former, chiming in with a laugh over there. Yeah. Rainey!
As a former 18 to 24-year-old boy, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? That's not who this movie's for. It's like a scathing cultural critique.
But yeah, this was for young women. And like, what's cool about it is that it is a horror film for young women, which is not common, right? It's a horror film about young women for young women. By the way, have you ever seen the movie Ginger Snaps?
Oh my God, yeah.
Fucking love Ginger Snaps. Yeah. Quick shout out, Garrett. It is, I'd say, a spiritual sibling to this movie about a young ginger girl who, during the throes of puberty, becomes a werewolf and starts ripping her classmates to shreds.
There are so few movies, you said, that...
It's such a good title.
Great title.
I mean, the ginger does snap.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
there
is.
Are so few horror movies, especially for young women, and I think very few, like Jennifer's Body, horror movies as a genre are typically exploitative, and like especially in terms of like the final girl trope and like putting girls in very sexualized situations and like teen girls being sexy and like getting murdered. And I think this movie does such a smart thing by flipping that trope on its head. And I think like it was marketed as like, nope, this is it. This is the trope, sexy girl. Mm-hmm. And that does a huge disservice to it.
Yeah, I feel like Diablo Cody watched all of those movies and then she was like, all right, now you guys have to smoke the whole pack. I'm going to give you all of the shit. Hmm. And then also she's killing people in the middle of it. And I think that's a really smart way to approach that satire.
You have to smoke the whole pack of sexy teenage girl.
100%.
There, I mean, I know some of our audience too are like, we're not into horror movies. I don't like them. But like, I think it's such an incredible vehicle in which to talk about the world and social issues and interpersonal issues. There is the famous, I believe, a quote attributed to Juno Diaz where he says, if you want to make a monster of someone, don't portray them. Fucking that one up. But it's this idea of like, if people don't see themselves represented, they become monsters. And so some stories can only be told as monster stories, like a story like this. You have to use horror to do it.
So now, even after hearing that, I definitely want a remake because I want her to fucking go for it. Because all of those ideas that I keep on like you see and all of the loose threads or whatever, it feels like she had the idea or like the clue to really get into interpersonal stuff. And then there was a studio note or network note saying, hey, could you like reel it back a little bit? Could you put more sexy scenes or whatever? What the fuck is this about? Yeah. And all this stuff. And it's just like, well, that's you being closed-minded as to what a horror movie can or should be rather than what it can be.
Yeah. So, I distracted myself.
I'm sorry.
Gave a perfect segue back to what I was reading. So they did it. They screened it for 18 to 24 boys. And the feedback that came back was, that it needed more boobs, spelled MOARBEWBS. The first trailer that came out, the director complained that it was an all-male marketing team. The first trailer didn't have any of Amanda Seyfried's character in it. And they were like, I think you are misunderstanding, but I want to find this.
Yeah, the main character of the film. Yeah, I feel like if this was being marketed towards women, there would be more eyeliner Adam Brody in the ads. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's a great point. When the director asked for an explanation that on an ad that fixated on Jennifer's hotness, they received a reply that wasn't even grammatically correct. It just said, "Jennifer sexy, she steal your boyfriend." It's so deeply upsetting.
I'm so disappointed
yeah,
in us.
That's so, I mean,
like this movie. Yeah, the movie really made you disappointed in men as a whole.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Jennifer sexy, she's still your boyfriend. That is
Jennifer sexy, she's still your boyfriend.
I want a t-shirt that says that.
I would get that.
Jennifer sexy, she's still your boyfriend. But I mean, there was a lot around this time when Megan Fox, do you remember what has been lovingly dubbed as Hitlergate?
Oh, because she called Michael Bay Hitler.
Yes. So she worked with Michael Bay, who is known for being a difficult man. Yep. She likened him to being a dictator, referenced him as Hitler-esque, and it became this huge fucking scandal where she was called difficult and she was dragged. And we as a society all were like, yeah, fuck Megan Fox. And that bad energy came into this movie. Yeah.
As if you were like, oh, maybe the teenager like who was told to bend over a car by this like adult man, like was made to feel uncomfortable and like maybe expressed it in like a less than eloquent way or like a little like hyperbolic way. But yeah, no, we should definitely be mad at her.
Right.
I think we're all on the same page here. I just wanted to take a moment to say, you know what, history, you've proven Megan Fox right.
Yeah.
And we're all on board.
She seems fun.
She seems cool. She's like and also, like, I was reading about her. She doesn't have any scandals other than Hitlergate. Like, she doesn't drink. She doesn't party. She doesn't do, like, all the crazy shit that everyone does.
I remember reading an article about her or, like, an interview with her, and she was just talking about how she, like, believes in aliens. And I'm like, cool. You do you, girl.
Yeah. I want to see that movie.
Yeah.
Megan Fox being hot. And believing in aliens, I'm into it.
I do have a couple.
I think she's just like a straight up weirdo. And I mean that in like a good way.
I love my weirdos. I don't have many fun facts, but I do have a couple little ones. While the director did say that Megan Fox was the only one who could ever do this role, apparently Blake Lively was going to star as Jennifer at one point, but a conflict with Gossip Girl prevented that from happening.
Blake Lively is very pretty.
Yeah, I would see that. And then I also saw, you don't like it?
Wouldn't have worked.
I don't think it would have worked.
I don't think it would have worked at all. I think that Blake Lively should have just stayed on Gossip Girl. Yeah. And just.
You kind of need sort of like the brunette, like the Veronica to the Betty.
Yeah.
And then we also have Emma Stone and Brie Larson auditioned for Needy.
Yeah, I could see it. Both of them as Needy.
I feel like every episode we have an Emma Stone audition for this role. Yeah. She really was just all over the place.
Isn't it wild sometimes when you see like how young these actors have just been famous for and you're like, oh, they were 22 in that movie. Like I saw somewhere it's like Jennifer Lawrence was 22 in Silver Linings Playbook.
Oh my God.
And you're like, what? Is
That's
that insane?
Fucked up.
Yeah.
She's been playing like 35-year-old divorcees for the last 10 years.
And I have a quote to rebuke Kelsey's claim that it was exploitative, where the director said, "I was just so insulted in a way by such a reductive reading of the film when the fact is, I think the imagery is erotic for myself. I have no intention of creating imagery simply to titillate anyone, male or female. I personally understood that that was a frightening, thrilling, subversive moment between those two girls, who I think are largely coded as straight. I knew I was making a movie about girls. I knew, and I wasn't making them for anyone's sort of voyeuristic pleasure. I was actually wanting people to kind of confront the beauty and the ugliness of girls at this age."
Yeah.
I think
that works.
That works. It's all these little things I think that critics picked up on, and like maybe some people, you know, like you guys like reading it, it's like, oh yeah, I totally see that. And like those things didn't work. But fundamentally for me, just as a movie on an emotional level, like it works. And that's just like, I'll never be able to be logicked out of that.
So now's the time we have to decide, is this movie a pleasure, a guilty pleasure, or just plain guilty? And really what we're asking here is kind of for your final moment, your final sell of why people should watch this, what it means to you.
It's a pleasure. I think it's like a fundamentally fun movie. Like you watch it, you have fun. And it's a movie that does something very rare, which is say something nuanced and complicated and weird and dark about teenage girls. And I think the more you watch it, the more you get out of it. And it works on multiple levels. So, pleasure.
I would say it's a guilty pleasure. Not at the fault of the creators behind it. I feel like they came in with a script, or she came in with a script. They came in with an idea. And then it wasn't fully told or wasn't truthfully done because of who it was advertised towards, who it was screened for, all of this stuff. And that's honestly unfortunate. And I really want them to remake the movie. I want them to remake it, whether it's in high school or whether it's with the same cast, just a little bit older. Because I truly do want to see that idea played out on screen and all of those loose threads that I keep on thinking of. I want to see all of those fleshed out and make the movie 2.5 hours. I don't give a shit. Like, if Iron Man can be 2.5 hours, this could be a 2.5 hour movie.
I want to watch Megan Fox in more horror movies.
I would love that.
Garrick, you will be happy to know Megan Fox loves Jennifer's Body. She loves it so much, she wants to make it a fucking TV show.
Whoa.
She wants to do it again.
Listen, Megan, you got a little bit too much dip on your chin. Like, let's relax. Let's just do the movie again. You don't have to do a TV show. You don't have to do a whole like 30-episode series, 3 seasons, whatever. Just do. I would love to.
You don't think a nice little 6-episode order?
A mini series.
A mini series would be sick. Yeah,
I would do a mini series.
Yeah, a mini series would be cool.
Okay. Also, both Megan Fox and Amanda Seyfried have said that this was their favorite movie to film.
Yeah, because Megan Fox came from Transformers, where guys were like, "Yeah, oil up her boobs more, like tighter pants."
Right.
And this is like a movie with like a female director and writer, where you're like, "Yeah, like be covered in blood, like have fun, be weird."
Crouching heels and vomit black goo.
When she started eating the fucking rotisserie chicken, she was probably like, or whatever, and it's like, "Nah, fucking." It.
That's also
go to town on, yeah,
it's also how I always want to eat a rotisserie chicken. You always you want to get in with your hands.
That's why Medieval Times is so dope, because you get to just fucking eat it with your, just fucking do, be weird, just all that shit. And she got to do it, and I bet she was having the time of her fucking life.
Megan Fox on the kitchen floor like David Hasselhoff wrecking that burger. That's just going for it.
That's why I love seeing her with MGK, that she just looks so happy, and I'm so happy for her.
She does look happy.
Like, yeah. I still don't know who Machine Gun Kelly is, but I just know that Megan Fox is happy, and that's all that matters to me.
He's got a good song out right now.
Does he? Yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard a Machine Gun Kelly
I'm
song.
Not convinced he actually releases music.
He does. He used to rap, and now
you say that, but
like
I'm not convinced.
Stuff. Yeah,
you could say it. I'm just not.
Fair.
That's my belief.
Right, what's your guilty pleasure?
Yeah. I'm going to say that it's a pleasure. I really enjoyed it. I think that there's so much that works, so much that's fun. And like, look, horror movies, just generally speaking, obviously they're campy. They are viewed as guilty pleasures because that is the medium. But I think this is a really well-made movie, really well-directed, really well-acted, and it has something to say. So yeah, it doesn't necessarily all connect, but I'm fucking on board. I loved it. I thought it was a blast.
You know what I'm going to say in terms of making it a pleasure as opposed to a guilty pleasure? Just got added to the Criterion collection.
Oh,
not the collection,
shit.
The channel. Criterion channel.
No. Just say the collection.
I mean, one day maybe. But
one day.
Criterion channel. Okay. That's not too shabby.
I went to see, like, to view it, and it's on Disney Plus in the UK, which is so funny to me.
Disney Star.
What is she?
That's Disney Star out there.
They call
that's
it Disney
call
Star?
It?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Disney Star.
Oh my God.
Very cool.
That sounds fucking fancy.
Yeah.
That's like they call Diet Coke something different too. Coke Light?
Those Coke weirdos.
Light. I think it's Coke Light. They have weird things. They're weird.
They don't know what they're doing.
With your goofy accents. I'm just kidding. We love
they
it.
Got cool accents.
I do.
Yeah, I think more people should see this movie.
It's on
don't
Amazon
know
Prime.
Why I waited so long. Also, I didn't realize that. I bought it. Oops. so that's on me. Oh, and Kelsey wants to let you know her opinion. We're going to cut her in right now.
I think this movie is a guilty pleasure. As much as I had cons written down, I do think I want to be on the wagon of it becoming a cult classic, and I think it's going to get better with time. And I think it's the definition of a guilty pleasure, where I'm like pissed that I like it, but I'm also just pissed about it.
Yeah.
That's my answer.
Dana, this was so fun to have you. Where can people find you?
People can find me on Twitter and Instagram, Dana Schwartz with 3 Z's. I have a podcast where I talk about weird things that happen in history called Noble Blood, mostly like royal history. And then I have a young adult book coming out in January, if you like bloody things and young women doing bloody things, you're going to like it, because it's about like the dawn of surgery in Scotland in the 1800s. And it's called Anatomy, a Love Story, available now for pre-order.
Hell yeah. That comes out in January?
Yeah.
Can't wait. And your podcast is awesome. I mean, we were talking about Noble Bloods before. She basically does like 15-page research papers for every episode.
Yeah.
And then talks about people who got murdered in history. It's
yeah, that's basically it.
Super fun.
I made homework my job by accident.
You damn fool. We made watching sometimes good movies our job.
Yeah.
We know what we're doing.
We know.
We know what we're doing. All right. Well, this has been an episode. Garrick, where can the people find you?
Garrick Bernard on all of the things.
I'm at Corn Day on all the things. Kelsey's at Kelsey Darrow on all the things. Until next time, what's the quote we want to end with? What's the... also, this movie has great wallpaper.
Didn't even notice.
Yeah, I need you to go back and look. There's just wonderful wallpaper in every scene.
An excuse to watch it again.
I am having a real wallpaper moment.
Are you wallpapering a house?
I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
I wallpapered my closet because felt like a doable project, and I love it.
Really?
It's like a little secret. Yeah.
You open the door and you're like, am I in the 1970s?
Yeah. I feel like I'm in Royal Tenenbaums every time I go in my closet.
I'm serious. You need to look at the wallpaper in this movie. Okay. You're really going to like it.